Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Jesus, we love you so much. We love to worship you. We love to sit at your feet. We love when your presence pours upon us like fresh rain. Just washing away the debris. Just washing away the fleshly holds on our life. And it brings us back into the center of you. Did you dance with Jesus tonight? Did you dance with the King? Could you feel his breath? Could you feel his heartbeat? He's real. And you can taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a promise of him, of his. You can taste and see that the Lord is good. That's for every one of us, this side, on this side of eternity. I really feel like many people who got caught up with the cares of the world or the trickery or whatever, the busyness, I really feel and I can hear a call of people coming back into their beloved. He's calling us home. Home is living in him, is resting in him. That's home. When you first met him, when you first, however you did it, whether you said the sinner's prayer or if he just showed up in your living room, when you first really met him, he's calling us back. He's calling us back before the enemy started getting a hold of us and saying, you're doing it wrong. You should be further along. You're still working on this? That's just like, you know, it's just like kids on a playground. The bully's trying to push. He's trying to take your swing. He's trying to take your teeter-totter. He's trying to take your toy. You got to stand up to the bully. Because truth is, you are created in the very image of God. You're created in his image. He doesn't make junk. He doesn't look at you like junk. He doesn't look at your mistakes. He doesn't measure you like you measure yourself. He's got so much more for us, but we have to make the decision in our heart. The decisions of the mind will fall. The discipline of our mind will fall. It'll fail. But the decisions of the heart, they grow. They change us. They direct us. You can, you know, and I know this is hard for some of you in here who are task-orientated, where you make a list and you're like, okay, I'm going to lose 30 pounds, I'm going to work out for 6 months, I'm going to do sit-ups and whatever else you would do. And this is hard for you to follow because you're used to programs. And that is where many people stumble. God isn't about programs. He's not about church buildings. He's about meeting the one he created for fellowship. He's about meeting where you're at. Not, oh, someday when I'm polished or someday when I know the Bible more. He loves you as a child because he's your dad. And I know some of you in here have had bad upbringings. And maybe you weren't loved. And so you're reflecting or deflecting the love of the Father. But I'm going to tell you something. His love is all-consuming. And you don't have to fear him. Now, I say that, and some of you are like, well, you don't know my life. Let me tell you something. I was on the streets, too. I know how to survive. But I also know how to surrender. And surrender is the better way. When you surrender your will and your life and your agenda and your plans and say, I don't know anything, but I know one thing, that you're good. I don't know how to trust you. Will you help me learn to trust you? And see, when you start talking like that to him, you'll start to see the tender side of him. The side where he comes alongside you and guides you and helps you. And when you fall down, just like when you're on your bicycle and you're learning to get off the training wheels, when you fall down and maybe you fall back into like a pattern or a sinful lifestyle, whichever it is, it doesn't matter because it's all flesh. He doesn't measure, oh, you're doing this, oh, you did that. He can't even filter that way because you're created in his image. He sees you in the spirit, wholly his, fully alive. He doesn't judge like we judge. He doesn't love like we love. And he's calling us higher tonight. I see him peeling away layers on people, like garments of like cheap old clothes from Goodwill, you know, that don't fit you, layer upon layer. And I see him gently saying, "Can I take that off? Let me help you breathe. Let me help you stand. Let me help you overcome. Hey, I've got a better thing for you. Come away with me. Let me show you. Let me teach you." See, I see it over and over, and it's a bad stumbling block. When we think we know it all, we're in serious trouble. When we think we got it because we're saved, and maybe, you know, you helped somebody's leg grow out, and you think you got it, we're in serious trouble. See, when you start measuring yourself, we're in serious trouble. There is no measurements in God. He's all expanding and all consuming. And he's calling us into this like vortex where it's not even about how to, it's just will you. He's looking for the will yous. He doesn't care if you got mud on your face or mud on your shoe. Will you? Whosoever. He's calling us, and some of you will not come. Some of you will have excuses. Some of you will say, "I'm too busy. I can't do it right now." And it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart. And I can imagine how Jesus feels. But listen, he's looking for the ones who are filling their oil lamps, who will put in the time now. Listen. Get the oil. Get it now while you still can. Get the oil while you still can. If you're struggling with, "I'm too busy," or "Wait, I got to do this for my kids," or "After I sell the house," or "After I paint the house," or "After I clean the house," or "After I lose 50 pounds," or "After I found that perfect spouse," or "After I get my divorce," or "After I get married," or "After I have kids," or "After my kids are in college." Listen, the hour is here. Now you know me. I don't talk like this. This is the Holy Ghost breathing in and releasing food for you right now to chew on. And you don't have to swallow. And some of you won't. You'll be like, nah, that's not, nope, my God doesn't talk to me like that. Listen, don't put him in a box. He's breaking boxes, but we have to be willing to be broken. And here's the really cool thing. He gave his son. He sold his son. His son was broken. His son took it all for us. He sold his son to redeem us from an earth curse system, but yet many are still walking in it and justify it and saying, "Later, next time, if I can." Listen, we can't do anything without him. We need to start pressing in. We have to start calling out for him. "Help me, help me, help me, help me. I got to go to the meeting. Help me get there. I have to do the dishes. Help me do the dishes." And then when you're doing the dishes, practice worshiping him while you're doing the dishes. You do dishes 5 minutes, worship him for 5 minutes. Those are called spiritual exercises. And they will develop and grow and expand your frame for what's to come. Everything is easy in him. And that's why many won't do it. Many would rather march around the walls with their signs, tooting their horn, and speaking junk or some cause that they think is God has sent them on. Listen, if you're spending more time on the cause than in Him in the closet, you're off course. You're off course. It may have been a cause that you got while you were in the closet, but beware. When it turns to a flesh of work, you're in danger. We're going to see so much in this season that is upon us. I have no fear. I've already died. I look forward when I cross over. Am I going to rush it? Nope. I'm going to fulfill the work that Jesus Christ told me to fulfill. I have to stand in front of Him and give account. And I don't want to say, well, I went shopping. I should have, but I didn't. I went shopping. Or, oh, you know, I was busy sorting my sock drawer. Listen, I make light because I don't want to cause you to squirm in your chair. But I want you to start squirming in your chair with the conviction of the Holy Ghost, not flesh. Every one of us should be feeling convicted right now. Not like in a bad way, in a good way, I got to know Him more. I'm desperate for His presence. I got to hear what's going on right now. He's calling us to a higher level in Him. It's not hard, but it is called a disciplining of the flesh. The walk of the Spirit, right now, we teach this all the time. All the time we teach how to walk in the Spirit, how to be one with Jesus through Holy Spirit and have fellowship with the Father. That's our job. We've been teaching this for years. Everything we do is available. We are not special. We just said no to that movie. We said no to cleaning out that sock drawer. We said no to our own plan, our own agenda. Have I had a lot of broken dreams? Yep. Listen, when God says, I want you to go a different direction, if you buck, you'll miss the anointing of change. And then it's harder to get in. It's harder to adjust. Listen, when God says to do something, He whispers, and He'll be gentle, and He'll say, hey, you know, I want you to go do this. If you do it, the anointing is there. If you wait, the enemy starts sowing seeds. Was that God? I think that was the pizza you ate the night before. Oh, you, do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes and you forget. God is like shaking us about the forgetfulness. He's bringing the promises, not the forgetfulness that of our excuses, but He's bringing the promises that He has breathed out and into your lives, and He's trying to get you to remember His promises. He can't do it for you, but He's already spoken it to you. And if you say, yeah, that's right, I remember you told me I was going to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Yes, Lord. Yes, I'm signing up. Yes, teach me, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Teach me. Well, what does that require? Some great program for $59.99 on the internet? Some wonderful conference where they're going to lay hands on you and you're going to walk away changed? Some things you got to gut out between Him and you. And when I say gut out, what I'm talking about is when you're gutting it out, your flesh is being released. And you're like, yikes, okay, I'm dying of that too. Yikes. You know, God spoke a promise to me. I think it was 3 years ago. He told me something. Had this wonderful experience. I tried to make that happen after He told me. I fasted. I prayed. Nothing. 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 Tried to push it. Can't. Because when it's a work of the Spirit, you don't have control over it. He does, because He controls you through it. Because you're a yielded vessel. When He told me that and it didn't happen, I knew it wasn't pizza. I knew he spoke that. I knew I had a living encounter with Jesus, and I knew he said some things, and we had a strong conversation. Nothing happened. Years go by. It wasn't until last week. I'm worshiping him. Not thinking about his promise, just in love with him because he's so worthy. He's so beautiful. And I'm so blessed that I get to know him. How did it happen? How did I stumble into the presence? I remember when I thought, well, if you die, you may make it to heaven. So messed up. Well, can you buy your way in? Do you have to have good works? What about if you're hanging halfway? How does that work? It's totally messed up. But God caused me to stumble into a meeting where I met him. And when you meet him, you know him. There's no denying. And I was addicted because it was living water. It was something I had been searching for all my life. And I'd end up with a counterfeit here and a counterfeit there and then trapped in that because that's the enemy. Counterfeit, counterfeit, hold you, bonded you. And then when I met him, I was like, this is what I've been looking for all my life. This is the one. And instantly, I got set free of addictions. Because here's he works you because he created you. He knows what makes you go and what makes you not go. And when he would come upon me in the meetings, I used to like drugs. I used to like cocaine, and I liked the feel of cocaine. And I also liked the feel of alcohol, but not at the end, only in the beginning. You know, the first one, where it makes you feel all tingly and good. I'd be in a service, and all of a sudden, his presence would come on me, and I'd be all tingly and good. And I was like, this is it! This is what I've been looking for! All that other stuff was plastic junk! I'm like, this is awesome! Oh my gosh! You know, I used to drive an hour and 20 minutes to go to the meetings. Why? Because I was desperate. I knew who I was, and I knew what my life was like, and I knew the sin I was living in, and I knew there was fresh water, and I needed to drink. So I would drive to the meetings, and he would consume me in his glory, and I'd be like, and more and more. And it just was, anybody who knows about addiction knows what I'm talking about. And for those of you that don't, bless you. Maybe he comes upon you in a different way. I'm sure he does. Because he meets you where you're at. And see, he fills the hole where the bondage was. He's the bondage breaker. And so what happened was, I'd be like, you know, I feel like I could run home. I just felt like I was, you know, the best of the best of the best of the drugs. And I was like, everything else is counterfeit. This is the real thing. And being the addictive nature that I had, I started chasing after the presence instead of him. And that's where many people miss it also. And you see these big old fat spiritual people in the head that have no grounding in the word. And that could happen to me. But he's so good and kind because he disciplines all his children. We all need to be disciplined. Our flesh needs to be disciplined. And I started to stray a little and just go after his presence. And one day he said to me, "You're a glory junkie." Not me. You know, you ever catch an addict? Not me, I didn't do it. They gave it to me. Think of your kids when they get a cigarette or something. Joey gave it to me, it wasn't mine. You know, that nature is sin nature and it follows us until we die to it. And so what happened was he confronted me and I could have said, you know, oh no. No, but I said, oh my God, you're right. I'm a wreck. I don't care if I never go to a meeting again. I want you. I want you. I don't care. I just want you. And I'm telling you, that was a mark in the road because I could have turned to the right or to the left and I wouldn't be here right now. But I said, you got to help me. And he helped me. And I said, I don't know about love, but I know I can feel your love come on me because it was like, whoa. It just like opened my heart. I said, I don't even know how to love you. Will you teach me how to love you? And he did. Slowly he taught me. And while we were worshiping tonight, I was thinking, I had flashbacks to when, you know, I was the kid who would jump in the mud puddle in God and just, you know, immerse myself. I didn't know you were supposed to dress a certain way or lean, or I didn't know any of that. So I was having all these manifestations of His presence because I didn't know you weren't supposed to. Nobody told me I wasn't supposed to see Him here now. Nobody told me I wasn't supposed to have creative miracles happening. Nobody told me that when we would have communion that my wine would refill. I thought that was normal. I read about it. I thought everybody had that. I didn't know that that was for the chosen, special ones. It's not, okay? We have to stop the things that cause us to justify when things are not happening. Listen, the hungry get fed. And I don't ever want to not be hungry for God. I don't want to be so full of the earth that I'm too full for Him. And I don't want to be so busy in the earth that I don't have time for Him. Seek Him while He may be found. Listen, friends. He's doing it for us, but we have to show up. And He's calling us to this deeper intimacy because we're in an age. You remember me years ago preaching about, you know, I remember when I was in a Holly meeting and she was talking about the martyr in China. I didn't read the book until just this last year, but I just heard the story and I believed it. See, I believe. I have very childlike faith. I believe that we're supposed to raise the dead. I believe that demons are supposed to flee. I believe that we're supposed to walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I believe that when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I believe. I have strong faith because I see. And see, faith as a child releases and opens up for the activity of the angels and heaven to come and change what's happening in the natural and bring the supernatural, and it'll supersede. That's my lifestyle. And I was lucky enough to study under Edgar Bailey Ministry, who had his arm burned off, grew back in front of 60-something witnesses, and blind eyes opened. I got to sit with that man on Friday afternoons and say, tell me another story, Edgar. Tell me another story. Tell me about the time when that pastor got shot that was cheating on his wife, and the guy came in and shot him right at the pulpit, and the wood split and went in and caused an infection, and he was all mush and no bones. Tell me about that one, Edgar. And he'd be like, are you sure you want to hear that one? I go, yeah, tell me about that one. I don't remember it. He knew I remembered it, and he would tell it. And he said, the Lord told him to stick his hand. The guy was in a body bag. He said, Edgar, stick thy hand. You know, that's how he talked to him. He would say to me, stick your hand in. You know, but Edgar was King James, older man. Me, I'm like, hey, slang. Oh, you want me to do this? He said, Edgar, stick thy hand into that body and say whatever. And sure enough, Edgar stuck it in and he said, it was mush. He went, moo, in the stomach. And then he prayed and the guy's bones got healed. He got healed of that disease. And then they left, you know, and a statue fell down and, you know, as they were trying to get out. It's a good, funny story. But anyway, those are the stories I got to sit under. Those are the stories. Those are, that's Acts. That's the book of Acts alive. You know what? Peter's shadow healed people. That's for today. Greater works will you do when I go. Body parts come together. Cancer die. Virus die. No plague shall touch us. We can walk in the protection. Psalm 91, we walk in the protection. Listen, shake, shake, shake. Here it is. Shake, shake, shake. Wake up. Wake up, those sleepy ones. See, there's been a slumber on the church, and no more. We're all being shook. Whose side are you on? God's. Whose side are you on? God's. Well, what about this side? No, God's. God's. I will not engage in the junk that's going around. I'm not going to lower my level. I'm not coming down out of the mountain of God to say mask or no mask. Conspiracy or no conspiracy? I'm an agent. I'm a representative. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I don't get to choose, or I get to deliver the word of the Lord, which actually causes demons to flee, causes people to be healed. That's what I'm about. I don't care about mask or no mask. Do you want to know my opinion? I have no opinion. When I signed up to, you know, let me just tell you, when I met him, he changed my life. He gave me life. When I said yes to him, I was his slave to him. I didn't automatically become his bride. I mean, it is scriptural, but I was like, I owe you everything. I'll do anything you want me to do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then, oh, maybe I'll do it. Oh, are you talking to me? As you grow in Him, we have a choice to listen and continue to obey or fall away and sleepy. I don't ever want to be sleepy. And I started to say, I heard a message from Holly. She preached about getting to know the voice of the Holy Spirit and the importance of that. And I remember her saying, someday they may take away your phone. Someday you may not be able to communicate. In China, they persecute Christians and they listen by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit tells them where the meeting is. And the Holy Spirit tells them how to get there so they're not taken captive by the enemy. And I remember thinking, it had to be the Holy Ghost, but I remember thinking, I can't hear His voice like that. I need to know that. I want to know. I want that. I want that. Little kid, I want that. I want that. I want that. I'm not too proud to say, I want that. I'll take that. You're releasing something from heaven? I'll take that. I'll never be full of God. I always want more of His presence. I want to be transformed into His image every day. Fresh, new. Great revelation every day. And so when I heard that message, I still have a best friend. I got several of them. But I used to talk to my best friend all the time. We'd be like, hey, what you doing? Da, 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 da. And then I thought, I need to start talking to the Holy Spirit like I talk to my best friend. This is wrong order. I'm like, if they take away my phone and I can't hear from my best friend where a meeting is or what I need to do, what am I going to do? And I said, Lord, you got to help me. And that's when I started to rely and grow in relationship with Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us in all truth. And so I'm saying this, and I've been saying this for years, get to know the Holy Spirit. You all know what it's like to have a best friend. You all know, you call your best friend and say, hey, what you making for dinner? Or, hey, did the kids do this? Or, hey, how's your husband? Oh, we're doing this again. You know what that's like with your best friend. Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. You talk to Him just like you talk to a best friend. And when you talk to Him, you may not hear Him right away. But He is a still, small voice. And you might think, oh, that's my imagination. Listen, Jesus released Him. He said, I've got to go. I'm sending you the Comforter, Spirit of Truth. He'll lead and guide you in all truth. I got to go because there's only one of Him. Holy Ghost, on earth there was only one. Holy Ghost gets released. And that's when things start popping for the believers. Tongues of fire, filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have to grow in relationship with Holy Spirit. If you're struggling, Holy Spirit has the answer. You ever do something stupid? You ever have like a manifestation? Like maybe a phone call happens and you get off the phone and you go, and you're like, whoa, what was that about? Instead of asking your spouse, ask Holy Spirit. What was that about? Why did I do that? And he'll go, oh, don't you remember when you were a kid? And your dad said this, you're still reacting for what your dad said 40 years ago. You're like, you're right. And then what you do is you just repent and replace it with the truth. And then that's a hook that's removed out of your soul. It's powerful stuff. And don't tell me that you're not reacting, because we're ever being transformed. We're ever being delivered. So if you think you've been delivered and you're fine, you're not. Okay? It's daily. You know, we clothe ourselves daily in Christ Jesus. And daily, you know, there's not a day I don't have some deliverance in my life. Maybe I'm just slower than the rest. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just such a kid, I just know it's true. But I repent daily for something. Oh, Lord, I said that stupid thing. I am so sorry. Forgive me. And He does. I don't justify when I say something stupid, but I also don't condemn myself. Here's the thing. We all make mistakes. And if you don't make a mistake, you're not breathing. Because you live in a fallen world. So you're going to make mistakes. In ministry, I make them all the time. You know, I'll do this and then I'll be, oh, I forgot to finish that. Or, oh, I started this, but then that. Listen, I don't beat myself up. I laugh and I say, okay, thanks, I need help. And then He helps me, okay? He covers it. He runs the ministry, okay? I'm just an agent. And he'll remind me sometimes. He'll say, hey, you never fail. Oh, yeah, that's right. Then I have to say, hey, partner, I forgot to tell you, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I don't condemn myself when I blow it. And I don't run from God anymore. I used to run from God. I remember one time, the Lord, I was at a prayer meeting, and the Lord's like, lay hands on so-and-so. I'm like, no way. I'm like, but I didn't say it out loud, but it was a heart-to-heart conversation. I'm like, I'm doing that. And I'm like, that can't be God. And he says, Romans 8. And I'm like, what's Romans 8? And I open up the Bible. I'm like, oh. I still didn't do it. I left. I'm like, I'm leaving. Not doing it. Totally disobedient. Driving down the car. I don't even know the Word of God at this point. I just know Him. Thankfully, I knew Him. And driving down the car, and I'm like, oh, man. The enemy's like, you call yourself a Christian. And I'm like, driving as fast as I can. Went for the prayer meeting. And the Lord says to me, or it was the Holy Spirit, He says, have you read the book of Jonah? And of course I had not. And I knew the story as a kid. I'm like, Jonah. I pull over and I'm like, oh no, I'm a Jonah. I wouldn't deliver the word. So I don't know if I turned around and went back. I can't remember anymore. It was so many years ago. But it's like, I've had my mistakes, but I don't hang on my mistakes. And I share them because I don't ever want anybody to put me on a pedestal. I've had friends do that. You know, I've lost good friends because they think I should be holy. I'm not. I love to live holy for Him, but there's days when, you know what, I might not say the right thing, or I might give you bad advice in the flesh. Don't ever listen to me. And those of you that know me know that. But by the Holy Ghost, take it. Listen, we are being transformed right now. There's such an urgency in the Spirit, but it's also such a freshness, it's the land of opportunity. If we can just position ourselves, and how do we do that? I don't know. Lord, help me. Help me position myself to where I'm supposed to be. And that just the obedience brings the blessing. That's what He's asking for. He's asking for obedience. Obedience is better. It's the better thing, okay? And I'm seeing a lot of disobedience and a lot of, you know, well, the grace message. You didn't get struck by lightning, so, you know, maybe God doesn't know. He knows all things. There's nothing He doesn't know, okay? He knows. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow, okay? He knows our nature. But He's encouraging us by the Holy Ghost to choose life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life. And so, I know some of you are struggling in here. And I'm telling you, you don't have to. There's a better way. I know you've been around children, and you know how they behave. If they got mud on their clothes, they don't care. If their shirt is ripped, they don't care. If there's a puddle and there's water in it, they're going to splash in it. They don't care if their shoes get wet or their pants get wet or if they get... They don't care. And that's what God wants. He wants us to come back to the beginning in Him. When we first met Him and we were just so in awe of His goodness that He saved us from the wretched life that we were living before we got caught up in programs and platforms and the what-ifs and the measuring sticks. Listen, in Him, you are a force to be reckoned with. In Him contains the power that created the universe. And you walk in that resurrection power. That's huge. But it's up to you to release. You know, here it is. I only see what my Father in heaven is doing, and then you release it on earth as it is in heaven. Anymore, there's grace, there's mercy. But listen, if you can dial in and listen and then release, you're going to watch explosions in your life for His glory. He will only bless you. He never hurts you. If you're feeling hurt or neglected or shamed, that's the fingerprint of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. That's his job. But you can say, get out in the name of Jesus. I'm done with this program. I'm not doing that anymore. Go. The blood of Jesus. You have no authority to mess with me. I belong to Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I break the hold. I break the agreement. I sever the tie. I'm not doing this anymore. And here's the thing. If you think it, that won't work. You have to speak it. You have to cut it. You know, you have to cut the cycle in your brain. And so, and it freaks them out when you do that. You ever yell at a dog? You ever say, go, and it runs? Same thing with the devil. Go, and it'll run. But be serious. Don't think, oh, and then turn your back. Don't do that. Stay alert. Win the war at the door. Win it. Because when you do, you break through to the best blessing ever for the next season of your life. That's why there's war at the door. The enemy doesn't want you to receive the goods. He doesn't want you to know truth. Contend for the truth, but don't do it in your flesh. Contend for the truth by the Holy Ghost. Give me a strategy, Lord, to win. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do to win this. Holy Spirit, what's really going on here? And it's usually not what you think. It's usually easy, and it's fixable just in a matter of showing up in the Spirit and doing what He says to do. Some assignments take longer, but I'm not going to get into that right now because I'm just trying to get you guys to come on. Come on. Shake that slumber. Don't settle for where you're at. But also, you can't do it by the flesh, so how do you do it? Holy Spirit, help me. Let's just say, Holy Spirit, help me. I think some of you need to learn that word. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. I'm a mess. I don't know what to do. I do the things I don't want to do. Yeah, help me. You ever have that? You want to break through? Use the power of God. Your mouth. Release it. And watch change. Hallelujah. Was that too tough? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just looking around, watching the angels. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Do you know how much He loves you? Ask Him. If you don't know, ask Him. Because you won't believe me, but ask Him. Open the Word and let it speak to you. His Word is alive. It has a heartbeat. Ask Him. Ask Him. You know, I'm thinking of the widow and the judge. You know, what? She was relentless, exactly. And what happened? She got what she wanted. Here's the thing. That's a kingdom principle. And I see people of the enemy doing it all the time with their loud voices, and they're getting what they want. It's time for us to rise, and it's time for us to roar, and it's time for us to command and demand, but only by the Holy Ghost. Know the Word, speak the Word, and watch things change. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for tonight. I thank You for the Word in season. Lord, we say yes. We say yes to everything You have for us. We say yes to the change. We say yes to the greater things. We say yes, yes, yes. Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to take us back before we got all growed up in You, you know, growed up in religion, thought we, you know, I'm actually seeing a picture of us in dress-up clothes. You ever wear, you know, when you were a kid and you'd put on your parents' clothes and it'd be all too big? Take us back before we were so smart and knew everything. Take us back when we were desperate to know You. Let that desperateness continue to cry out of our heart to be changed. Let us never settle. You know, that's the thing in America. Oh, we got it so good. Listen, good's not good enough for me. I'm not comparing myself to how good it is in the earth. I want everything that my King died for me to have. I'm going to wear the robe of righteousness that He clothes me in. I'm going to decree the words that He wants me to decree. I'm not going to waste 1 second. Not 1 second. And how am I going to do that? By the help of the Holy Spirit. You got struggles. You got needs. Take them to the Lord. Look in the Word and start speaking the Word over your issues. I have the mind of Christ. I remember when my mind was so messed up, I did a lot of drugs. I've been hit in the head so many times. I've had concussions, I think, 3 times. Plus the time that the enemy caused a car accident and I lost my memory. Hello? My mind is sharp. Because I've got the mind of Christ. Now I know that through revelation. And that came through the Word Okay? So there's nothing. You struggling with addiction still? Don't act like you're not. I know who you are. Cry out for deliverance. You can't do it on your own. Go to the floor of the cross and say, I need help. I'm a wretched sinner. I don't know how to do it, but I want to do it. Help me. You cry out and He will meet you where you're at. He loves when His kids cry out. You need food in your you need food in your cupboards? Ask Him to supply your needs. He always supplies our needs according to His riches, not ours, His. Listen, I've been there. I remember when I was going through the phase of it looked terrible in the natural. And I remember when I was and things were spiraling down, he warned me. He said, be careful of the spirit of entitlement. And I was like, what? I didn't even know what that was. It came knocking on my door called government program. And I'm not saying don't take government programs, but they're meant to be springboards. They're not meant to be a place of complacency because you get under the authority of that government, okay? I want to be under the authority of the government of heaven. And the government of heaven is the one that supplies all my needs. And so there was a time when the pantries were low. And there was a time when it was tempting to say, yeah, but the Lord said, be careful. And I'm like, okay, and what do you want me to do? He said, take all this stuff and donate it at the shelter place. I'm like, okay, really nice stuff. It was in boxes, all this nice stuff. I'm like, okay. See, I didn't wait and go, well, I could sell it and make money and buy food. I'm like, okay. You know, my faith is very simple. I loaded up my car, 2 carloads, and I go and dump it off at the shed, you know, because they're not open. It's at night. And I go for at the end of the first load, there's a lady working inside. I didn't know it was a food pantry. How was I to know? And she's like, what are you doing with all this stuff? I said, I'm donating it. And she said, do you need food? And I go, well, like, what do you mean? And she goes, I feel like you need food. Why don't you come inside and pick off the shelves what you need? I'm like, Lord, He said, it's okay. You know how you're supposed to fill out the paperwork and all that? Didn't do it, didn't need to, didn't get in their system, but got a blessing. And she's like, this stuff's so nice, I'm going to take it and sell it. I'm like, you keep the money, I want nothing to do with it, because the Lord said, donate it. He didn't say, have somebody sell it for me. Listen, follow through, because the enemy's always knocking, even at a blessing. There's always the opportunity for the enemy to sneak in. Remember the Lord said, donate all this stuff I did? And then some lady wants to sell it for me and give me the money. That is, see, double-edged sword. Yeah. There was food, but there was also greed. No, thank you. I don't want the greed. You keep it. Take it all. It's rubbish. She gives me the food. I go home and get the second load. She's like, don't even worry about the paperwork. I'm like, okay, because I wasn't going to fill it out. The Lord said, don't fill it out. I didn't have to. Listen, if you need something, He is your provider. And it's during the dark season, or you think it's dark, but it's really the blessing season, because that's when you learn to trust Him. When you're going through the pressing, was that the voice of the Holy Spirit that just said, donate all that stuff? Then you go, and then this happens. You're like, wow, and that's how trust gets built. But faith is activated first. You have to believe it first. You step out in faith, and then you watch the Red Sea part. You watch provision come. Nothing's too big for Him. If you have a need, talk to Him. He is your comforter. He's your provider. You struggling with a marriage issue? You feel like you're unequally yoked? Listen, God can handle that. And oftentimes, it's your heart that He's going to deal with. Oftentimes, we it's my spouse. They're the ones. If only. Listen. Let God heal your heart and watch what happens. And then you change the way you're praying, and the next thing you know, you're yoked so tight. You love each other. God is good. But He knows the answer to every problem. So stop calling your sister. Stop calling your mother. Stop calling your best friend. Stop calling the prayer chain. Go to Him. Yeah. You know, that's the other thing. I love prayer chain, but listen. We can feed you, but you have to learn to eat yourself eventually. And God wants you to take, I'm seeing like this big old fork and knife, and he's like, to the enemy, you know. You learn, instead of us, you know, you're too weak, okay, we help you, and we love to help, but there comes a time when you pick up that fork and you stab the enemy, and you go, we're done. And then they all go, whoa, look at that, and they leave you alone. And then you grow a little more, and your territory gets bigger. Does that help you?
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for whatever you're doing in here tonight. We receive it by faith. I thank you for the blessings that you released. I did see them. I see stuff opening in people's hearts, and I saw these garments of like goodwill stuff, you know, things that you thought were of value being peeled off you, because Jesus is your provider, and he is your cloak. And right now, I release that by faith, and I thank you, Lord, for complete wholeness in every area of our life. Lord, we say yes to die into our ways, die into ourselves, and to your promises. Your ways are higher. Holy Spirit, teach us how to position ourselves to receive and listen and do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.